Welcome to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning is our first message in our Advent series. It's from Dr. Ron Oliver. It's entitled, Go Light Your World. Now from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, here's Joy Beth DeWitt with Go Light Your World.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a
don't you? Anybody here not like light? Yeah, there's all sorts of things that you can do with light. I consulted my most favorite optical engineer on this subject. Happens to be my son. You can bend it. You can burn with it. You can fade it, filter, focus it. You can reflect it, or you can refract it. You can illuminate with it, and you can communicate with it. And there's a whole lot more. And besides all the things you can do with it, it's not a bad metaphor, right? You are the light of my life. You light up my life. You are the light of my eye. And some of you are saying, I have no idea what he's talking about. And you go, oh, I get it. Oh, the light came on. Yeah, I get it now. I see what he's saying. In Genesis, light is the first good that God created. Now, there was this form of earth and wind and all moving across the earth. There was a presence, but the first thing that God created was light. And it's the first thing that God said was good. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surfaces of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. It's like God said, it's lit. There you go. They know what I'm talking about. And it's good. We go over to the Gospel of John. And John's telling of the coming of the light in the world. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And down a few verses later, he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overpower it. That's the amazing feature of light, that there's no amount of darkness that can be applied to diminish the light. In this 16,000 square foot sanctuary, if we turn down the light, this little candle right here, this tiny, tiny candle becomes the most prominent feature in this room. And if it were completely black in here, this candle of hope, would be enough to orient us to where we are in this place, because we know where the light is. Light has the amazing capacity not only to illuminate, but to orient us to where we are, and not only that, but to who we are. Light is not controlled by darkness, but is controlled by light. In your house, you probably have a dimmer switch, right? It's to turn light up and down. It's not to turn darkness up. It's to turn light up. The only way light is controlled is by light, not by darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And in Matthew, notice this. What does Jesus say? You are the light of the world. The verb, I am the light of the world, and you are the light of the world, is the same verb, built off the same root. That we are what Jesus is, the light. It is as if the light came into the world to transform us to be the light, so that we could be the light for the world. There are just two ways of spreading light. One is to be the light, or to be a mirror that reflects the light. Light is a wonderful thing. While powerful, while wonderful, while utterly destructive to darkness, there is a fragileness to light. This little candle that has the power to obliterate darkness, this candle that has the power to orient you and me to where we are in the darkness, is also a fragile little flame. And you and I have the power to influence what happens to this flame. And we are ultimately stewards of the light. And what we do with the light has impact for the world. Because Jesus says, let your light shine so that others can see your good works and give praise to the Father in heaven. When we do that well, we hold forth a light that orients, that gives clarity in darkness. But we can also blow out the light. That feels pretty uncomfortable, doesn't it? My gosh. The hope. To blow out hope. I don't even feel comfortable doing it. But we can do that in this world if we are not careful stewards of the light. Because you see, the world is watching us. The world is listening to us. And the world is reading what we say. And they're trying to decide what to do with their little candle, lit or unlit. Do those people have something that makes a difference in their lives that can make a difference in my life? And they're making decisions about you and me, whether or not they can trust us with their unlit candle or with the tiny little candle, with the tiny little flame that they may have. And unintentionally, I believe, we can blow out the light that they need and are seeking. Let me talk about two ways that we can do that. First, as I mentioned, the world is watching what we do, what we say, and what we type. If you go to James, the book of James, this is a rough book. This is a tough passage. I am quite sure that James did not read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. I mean, it is straight at you, unvarnished, hard words. The tongue is a world of evil among parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. I think if James were writing today, he would say, if you can control what comes out of off the tip of your tongue and off your fingertips, it's what you ought to do, right? I don't know if you've noticed, social media, in some ways, is really anti-social media, isn't it? It's a harsh, wild world, wild west of words out there. And know this, my friends, people are watching what we say. And there's this phenomena in social media that we don't see the impact of our words, and it can leave us with the impressions that our words don't have impact. You see, if I say to somebody at work, that's an awful dress you're wearing, or that's an awful tie that you have, I can usually see the impact of those words, right? But if I say it across Wi-Fi, I don't see how those words impact and land on people. But just because I don't see it doesn't mean there's no impact. And what we have to do is realize is that our words are being read and watched by those that are looking for the light. Let me offer you a couple of suggestions. The first is this. If you wouldn't say it with your vocal cords, then don't say it with your keyboards. If you wouldn't say it with your vocal cords, then just don't say it with your keyboard. Second, If you wouldn't say it to somebody's face, then don't say it on Facebook. Don't do it. Why? Because you are representing the light. James, back to James. James chapter 3, where the previous verse I just read came from. Notice what he says. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. Able to keep their whole body in check. You want to be perfect? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. The route to perfection starts right there. In James, he talks about an entire great ship is controlled by a small rudder. A large, powerful horse is controlled by a bit in the mouth that controls where that horse goes. We are no different. What we say, what we type, is a reflection of the light in us. And it's a reflection of hope or not hope, social or antisocial to the world around us. I have mentioned here before the words that my grandfather taught me, a preacher in rural Mississippi who would have enjoyed Angel Band. I know that. He said, here's the test. Say it if it's true, kind, and necessary. True, kind, and necessary. If it passes the three yes test, keep going. Another way we unintentionally blow out the light is, well, we say too little. We say too much, we say too little. I'm all over the place, right? We say too little of the right things. And we say too much of the wrong things. Let me illustrate. I'm going to give you an image that all of you are going to key in on. You're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. You ever been to a nice family restaurant and you peek over a table or two and there's what looks like mom and dad and the two kids, and they're all doing what? They're off someplace else, right? Not saying things to each other, but connecting to people outside the world. I've gotten around my colleagues at work that I know well, and we were on a bus going somewhere. And you know, there's always that little awkward pause after everyone says hello, how you doing, everyone's doing fine. There's that little pause. And then somebody says, well, how about those Cubs? You know, and off they go. Well, if somebody doesn't say that, out comes the device, right? A recent article in Modern Healthcare said, loneliness has become the most common ailment in the modern world. We expect more from technology and less from each other. We're confusing quantity of connections with quality of relationships. As Brené Brown notes in her book, The Gift of Imperfections, there's danger in confusing communication and connection. In the 17th century, Descartes turned the world on its head by getting us to think about ourselves when he said, "What? I think, therefore I am." If Descartes were to drop into our society, he would probably wonder if we would be communicating, I post, therefore I am. Both of those have good elements of truth, no doubt about it. But both fall short of what I believe to be the truth of faith. And I think and believe deeply that I know who I am, not because of what I think or what I post, but how I relate. I relate, therefore I am. You shall love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Love is about relating and connecting in deep and meaningful ways. And returning to the candle, that's what the world is looking for. They're looking for a candle that draws them in with a durable and meaningful sense of hope for their lives ahead of them. Do you ever find that sometimes here in our own church, we can feel lonely? I've heard from time to time people say, I don't feel connected. We come and we find ourselves sitting in the same places, talking to the same people, and that's great. That is really fine and fun. But this is Christmas. And the whole Christmas story upset the world, sort of changed the way the whole world works. You want to do something kind of fun? Anybody up for a little fun? Okay. In the spirit of Christmas, maybe we could change things up a little bit. Maybe we could just do something a little bit different. Tim is going to come and lead us through a little exercise that I affectionately have called the shuffle.
I stand up here every week and I can almost point to where people sit. I go, oh, they're not here today, or they're not here today. So what Ron wants you to do is to go sit somewhere else, somewhere you're not used to sitting.
Well, how about you? Look at you. You're all different. The choir is out there, and there's a new choir. Look at that. All right. Now, this is a rhetorical question. Don't answer. How many of you, when this got going, thought, ugh. Ugh. I like my seat. I like my space. I like the people around me. Right? Great. Great. Here's the thing. How many of you thought, don't want to do this. Don't like this. Not feeling comfortable. Feeling out of my space. This is not my zone. Don't like who I'm around. How many of you thought, change places? I'm going to the parking lot. I'm leaving. I know who you are. I'll listen to this on the radio. Here's the thing. And I mean this with love and respect. As important as your feelings are, the good and the uncomfortable, it's not about you. It's just not about you. Because when people come to see us and they come to visit carrying that little candle, they sit amongst us and they feel awkward and they feel out of place, maybe a little scared, maybe a little anxious, and they hope that somebody is going to break the ice. They feel like some of you feel now. And among the many things that they're hoping is that somebody will light their candle. The candle of hope. When we reach out and connect to that person that shows up with their candle, we give the light that we were given by Christ to be stewards of and to share with that person. Many of you know that my career has been as a hospital chaplain. Many of those years was as a pediatric chaplain. And one Sunday morning I got a call from the unit asking me to come in to be with a family who along with their patient son, had made a big decision. This young man had been in and out of the hospital all of his life because of some lung problems and because he lived his life in a wheelchair. And usually he would come in and he would, his lungs would get better, and he would go home, and it would be a while before we saw him again. This time it was different. His lungs were not going to get better enough for that ventilator to go away. And he made it clear to mom and dad and the rest of the hospital that he just did not want to live the rest of his life that way. And since his last hospitalization, he had turned 18. And now was an 18-year-old patient saying, I don't want to live my life on this ventilator. And he had made a decision that Sunday morning to have that ventilator removed. Because I knew the family, had been with them through the course of many years of treatment, they were so gracious to ask me to come and be a part of that experience. So I was in the room beside this big boy, red hair, his mom at his head, dad standing beside her, two sorrow-filled grandparents standing there. And they asked him, they said, son, do you want us to take this ventilator off? You know, if that happens, you may go be with Jesus. You know, and I don't know if he thought that was the good news or the bad news or both. But it was very, very clear what he wanted. He couldn't talk, shook his head, yes. So as that respiratory therapist began untying that tube to release it, his mom leaned down and whispered into the ear of her only child, son, when you see the light, run toward it. You'll be okay. She knew that the light could be trusted, and it would get him home. And in the light, did you catch it? There was a promise. Run. Something that his wheelbound chair legs had never done. When you see the light, run toward it. You'll be okay. Before we can have a role in growing anybody into a loving relationship with Jesus, we have to attract them. We have to connect with them. We have to keep them held in an embrace of love. We have to be the light that's warm and generous and just as powerful as that itty-bitty little candle in a dark room. Last year, when I had the opportunity to stand here, I asked you to do one thing between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And that was to say thank you, to express gratitude 24 times a day. One act of gratitude for every hour of the day. This is what I want to ask you to do this year. Every night, before you lay your head on your pillow, ask yourself this question. Did I light somebody's candle today? Did I light someone's candle today? My friends, you're the light. Go be the light.
You've been listening to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, you may have reached a decision concerning your relationship with God, or you may want to find spiritual guidance for your life. Contact us this week at 502-896-8882 or online at smbclouisville.org. St. Matthew's Baptist Church is conveniently located at 3515 Grandview Avenue between Breckenridge and Cannons Lanes. Join us for worship in person this morning. Bible study for all ages at 9:15, followed by worship at 10:30. If that's not possible, then join us here next week at 7 for Experiencing God's Love. From St. Matthew's Baptist Church, where we're loving and leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus.